All right. I think everyone's in. Most people are in. People are still coming in.
Yes.
Good. All right. We won't we'll get right into it. Can we praise the Lord this morning in prayer? Yeah. I'll start it off. I'll just start and you guys can join with me in your hearts as we lift up our God in worship and prayer, okay? All right. Father, I sense just a lot of excitement this morning that in our hearts and our families that we are enjoying the sunshine that you have given us. And we're enjoying the family time and being able to wake up this morning to a good mood and waking up this morning expecting to hear from your word and to worship you on this Sunday. We want to give you praise because you are a good father and that you watch over us. And despite whatever is going on, we know that we are anchored in our faith in your son, Jesus, because of what he has done for us. Our lives have meaning. We have hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And we want to thank you for that, because it's only through that we are able to continue to have a desire and hope and motivation to continue to do your word, to do your work, and to serve those around us, to love those around us, and to tend to those around us in need. This morning, we lift up your word, that may your word be cutting, and may your word be encouraging, and may your word bring to our Sunday this time. And we also want to thank you that we are able to gather. Sometimes it seems like we wish we would be with each other, but even in a virtual Zoom, beginning to appreciate the opportunity just to hear everyone's voice, see everyone's face, that you have used technology to bring us together, and that worship does not stop, and the declaration of your word does not stop, and it continues to grow. So we know you're at work, and we entrust the entire time into your hands, and we pray all this in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Go right into it. Let me share my screen. Okay. A little loud in my house, and well, I hear all these chitter chatter. I can't multitask, guys. Just let you know.
That's a
thing, okay? For all those of you guys who are good multitaskers, I envy you. You guys see my screen?
Yes.
All right. Salt of the earth. Awesome. Last week, we covered the salt of the earth, and we identified the uses of salt, right? We were right in the midst of that discussion. And do you remember what we identified? Some of the things that we identified as to the uses of salt in our lives?
You're like preserving food, Frank?
Yeah, preserving food. I know in our small group, you mentioned taste, savory taste. Salt adds to the taste of a dish. And then I think, Scott, you mentioned that or was it? Because she mentioned that it is a necessity, right? In our body.
Right.
Of course. So we identified the nature of salt and how it's applied to our lives. And I know Rebs also mentioned that it's a stable compound, you know, sodium chloride, that it does not break apart easily. It's very strong, that bond. So, and she mentioned that a salt doesn't try to be saltier. It's just salt. You can't make salt more salt, right? And it retains its natural property. So I like to propose that we continue with that idea. I felt that there's something more that we can discuss, if you guys are okay with that. Yeah, before we move into the light, I just felt that there's more to be said here. You guys agree? Maybe? Feel free to chime in. Okay, so we see, again, from the Beatitudes, the series of the blessedness, right? It leads into, it all leads into the being salt of the earth. So I want to go through this again. I know Pastor Alex mentioned that, but visually I want to see it again so that we understand that all that blessedness that Jesus was describing, it all leads to this point in his sermon that he says, you are the salt of the earth. Because of who you are as a believer, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And we mentioned that these are characteristics of those who belong in the kingdom. They're not trying to do things. They're not moral teachings, right? Yes?
I'm sorry. Alex,
do you want to say something?
No. Sorry about that. I didn't.
That's okay. So this leads into that we may be the salt, that we are the salt of the earth. So in essence, if you want to know what the spiritual properties of the spiritual salt, right, this metaphor, you look back, right, let me do, you see my cursor, you look back here, and you'll see that these are the spiritual properties of what it means to be the salt of the earth. Okay, I'll do a pointer. I hear you guys see that. Okay. I found this. So this kind of sums it up, right? We are poor in spirit, merciful and meek and hungering and thirsting after the righteousness in order, in a sense, that we may be the salt of the earth. So all of this is connected. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that we're connected in this discussion. It's not a break. It actually leads right into why Jesus would declare that you are the salt of the earth. And we mentioned that Jesus is declaring that there's no trying to be salt, right? You are salt. You are salt. And I want to talk about this more. And one of the questions that I started asking myself is this. And Daniel, if you can break us into small group, okay? What does it mean? This is in our own, you know, in our social gatherings. What does it mean when we say that someone is trying too hard? You guys know what that means. I've heard that before. Versus being who they are, right? We know this subtle difference, right? We talk about it. This kind of language comes up. if you can go into your small groups and kind of discuss that, what does it mean when someone is trying too hard? How do you define that? And what does it mean when someone's being who they are? What's the difference? What's the distinction? Daniel, can you break us up? Everyone's coming back. Hey, so what did you guys say in your small group? How did you guys define it?
I didn't know that Jonathan said.
Hi, Darren.
Darren.
Hi, Darren.
Good morning.
Uh-huh. 看到你.
Jen, the new father.
Well,
father to a new daughter.
Yeah.
Second daughter. Yeah. Yeah. That was, we followed the whole process. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Not easy.
Uh-huh.
Is the daughter home?
Yeah, daughter's sleeping with mama.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
Caitlin,
okay. Right? Caitlin, that's why.
Yes, Caitlin. They're resting right now.
Yeah, Caitlin.
All right. So, what did you guys say or discuss? What does it mean? What's the kind of the overall connotation when you hear someone say that, hey, someone's trying too hard? What's the connotation to that?
Our group, Frank, we talked about this a little bit, Sophia and Tim and I, that maybe this is someone that really tries hard and pushes hard, and maybe they're looking for like more self-recognition. Oh, I brought this many people to Christ, or I did this, or I did that, or even like mega churches and things like that. Maybe they really try too hard and want recognition more than really what God wants.
Oh, okay. So the motivation may be a bit more self-serving. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we sort of talked about the consequences and the effects of when someone tries too hard to be someone or some, you know, putting up a facade or being trying to be cool or someone else, right? And we just shared that, you know, sometimes that it's. When it's not allowing God to transform you from the inside to be that way, where it's natural, it's not sustainable, and it's, you get burnt out, you know, and it's tiring and it's not sustainable. Rather than knowing who we are and allowing God to transform us inside, it's just that'll be a very natural thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, you said something that really resonates is that it is tiring. Right? When you're trying to be someone who you're not. Now, this doesn't take away from hard work and improving. You know, we're not saying that we shouldn't put in the effort, but when you're trying to be, and that's what Daniel mentioned in our group, when you're trying to be someone you're not, there's no consistency and it's not sustainable. It's very hard. You got to put it up. You got to do something to maintain that image. It's very tiring. Rather than, I guess, compared to being who you are, is being transformed inside, like what Peter would like, what your group was sharing. When you're transformed inside, you're just being who you are. It's, you're at ease, right? Everywhere you go in different settings, pretty much the same most of the time. Anyone else? You guys all agree that that's kind of the sentiment, that's kind of the understanding of this, right?
Yeah, our group
just did talk about that, it may appear as, it may be, the perception may be like a deception. So it may, yeah, it may be a negative effect on the relationship. It may appear that, you know, it's not sincere enough.
Oh, yes, you're right. People see that. Yeah, it may not be sincere enough, because they'll say, well, it doesn't seem real, right? That's a big part. You know, that's a big part as we're talking about, you know, being the salt. Something to consider. We may not be able to, tease out this whole conversation, but I want to bring it up because it is a big part of what we're talking about and what Jesus is addressing here. You know, one of the, I don't know if Pastor Alex is on the online right now, but him and I had a phrase since, gosh, either I think college. I had a shirt.
It was my shirt.
Yeah, I was wearing your shirt. So it's really, and it said, "Only a surfer knows the feeling," right? Wow, only a surfer knows the feeling. I don't know how many guys surf here. You guys surf? Any surfers here? No, okay, maybe Pastor Alex, right? I surfed once in my life, okay? But only a surfer knows the feeling. But I was wearing it because everyone's wearing surfing t-shirt, and it became an ongoing joke, right? Because I'm wearing a t-shirt, but I don't know what that feels like, right? So everyone was trying to be posers, trying to be surfer, everyone, but only a surfer knows the feeling. A surfer does what a surfer does, right? And he knows the smell of the ocean water. You know, if a surfer is surfing all the time, his hair is probably always wet and damp, right? He's got sand all over him, right? You can't fake the funk, right? You can't fake it, right? Only a surfer knows the feeling. And I think we get that. Darren, did you want to say something? I see your box lighting up on my screen.
No.
Okay.
Need to know my mind.
That's okay. Feel free to jump in. So when I was looking at this and thinking about your salt, the earth, that came up because Jesus is declaring, you are the salt. Don't try to be salt. You are actually salt. I've created you as such. You belong to the kingdom. And as I understood this more, I came to this to help us, that Jesus is reminding us that we will not be performing life, right? It's a performance based, right? Trying to be something, but we're be just doing life as a believer, as salt. So if we understand this concept, we would have a better starting point into the Sermon of the Mount. Right. Pastor Alex and I, we've been trying to say this is not a moral teaching, but Jesus is describing who we are in the kingdom. We are salt. You are salt. And the action item that we would take away from this is not by doing something, but I felt that I was led to that the Spirit reminded me to examine my hunger for Jesus and his kingdom. Because we are salt. We're not trying to be salt, right? But our job maybe is to take some time, to take some time to take stock, take inventory of our own hunger for Jesus. What's our hunger for Jesus and for his kingdom these days? No, I have to answer. it's a takeaway, as Jesus is saying, hey guys, you guys are the salt of the earth. You do what you do because you're just salty, because I made you that way. Any questions, any comments, my fellow salt particles?
So, what my question would be, so that we can better like understand, because I think I get the concept, but like, what does it look like when Christians are performing, like, you know, I get it, right? You know, but what does it look like, I guess, like, when we are salt, but could there be times where Christians are could Christians try too hard to try to be salty, right? Is there such a thing, mm-hmm. right? Where even a Christian, because it's not talking about like a stronger, you know, Christian is more salty, right? Because I think we established that. Or a new believer is not salty, right? Salt is salt, right? What does it look like then for Christians who under a certain thinking are trying too hard to be salt, right? Do you understand my question? Is there such a thing where some Christians are struggling so hard to be, mm-hmm. but they already are, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's going to require a pretty, you can go deep with this, because mm-hmm. that is something that we all need to really address between us and God. But when you mentioned, you know, performing, I feel that this is what in our small group Daniel and I were talking about, is you're doing something that you're trying to do something that you're not naturally made of, right? You're trying to be someone else. So even as we are salt, we have different functions in the body. So when we're really trying too hard to portray a certain image or facade that we are not inside, that transformation hasn't taken place, then it looks disingenuous, right? That's what Auntie Kim was saying. Mm-hmm. And it creates a negative effect, actually. You're doing all the right things, but you're not doing what God has called you to do. And mm-hmm. it's not coming from the inside out. It's actually the outside in. And I think Rebs has a raised hand here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know that phrase, like trying too hard mm-hmm. and being someone that you're not? That phrase itself kind of reminds me of what we all go through as young people, or went through, or even still are going through. Mm. I think being salt, you know, trying too hard, I think it's a process of trying things and then realizing and discovering, oh, that felt really good. And that was actually very me. Or realizing, oh, I tried that and it just didn't feel comfortable. And I think we have to give ourselves grace to grow into our individual uniqueness that God made us into, just as much as we would give grace to young people, like, oh, you know, you're still working on your identity. You're still understanding who you are. You're still discovering who you are. And we encourage that process. I think that's what the Christian journey is about. I don't think Jesus is asking us to be like, hey, wake up to who you are right now, or else, you know, you're not good enough, or you're not salt enough. You know, I don't think it's a measurement thing, but more of a journey and a process. Because I can attest, you know, even in my own personal life journey, you know, I've tried to be a particular type of person or have a certain persona and realize that wasn't me. And even in my faith, you know, acting a particular way, doing certain things, or expressing my faith in a certain way and felt like, ah, that was cool, but that, you know, it's not like, it doesn't come natural to me, you know? So anyways, I just want to speak more into, being who you are is, I think it's a journey. So not to knock people, you know, when they're trying to be really zealous for Jesus and then you're like, that looked fake, you know, we don't want to, you know, like,
no, you
know,
yeah,
put out that fire, you know, we got to let them try it and let them figure out, wow, this is really me, or no, that really wasn't me. Yeah. So, you know, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that's very good. That's where grace and mercy comes in too, right? It's the holistic Christian life that we're talking about here. And when you mentioned that, you know, when you're young, I can recall when I was young, because I saw all the leaders or adults, they would carry their Bible around, right? I would want to be a good Christian. I'm zealous. I carry my Bible. So I would carry it, show my Bible. But was I being the salt? And I mean, I thought it was, right? Carrying the Bible is a good thing. But it's not the act of carrying the Bible. It's the fact that you're reading the Bible all the time and you're carrying it around. That's why some people will carry it, because I got to get into the Word. I got to take it. This is before cell phones, right? You have your Bible with you all the time because you want to ingest God's Word. It's coming from inside. I wasn't reading the Bible. My Bible was like all neat, but I'm carrying it around, you know? But no one's faulting me for that. But looking back, I was trying pretty hard, but I was missing the point. I was doing the right thing. Nothing wrong with carrying the Bible. But the purpose of it was I really trying to devour God's Word in that instance, right? That's kind of performing in that doing. Is that a little bit more clear? Or you guys have anything else to share or add to it?
Hey, Frank. Can you hear me?
Hi.
As you guys were talking about like the whole salt thing, we actually recently just started cooking. And I was thinking, you know, like if using that salt analogy, you know, we are used to what, like preserve and season food, right? So in that sense, like as Christians, we're not gonna be used to season the same type of dish all the time, you know? Like salt can be used to season so many other dishes. And I think like as Christians, when we're growing, like we have that saltiness, right? But it doesn't mean that you can be, God's gonna use you for the same exact like field and area, just like someone else that he has done. But there is a purpose to like who we are as Christians, and then there is that direction, but it's just a matter of timing when he chooses to use it in that specific area.
Yeah, so right timing. It's not just doing the right thing. We were talking about that, not doing just the things right, but you gotta do the right thing at the right time.
Yeah. Then you could be called into something unexpected and be ready for it.
Gotta be ready. Yeah.
And being salt, you would think it's always savory dish, but actually a lot of the desserts, they need a little pinch of salt to bring out the overall sweetness of the dessert. So we have to be flexible too, and not just go about just thinking we have to be in a certain Christian way. Be all things to all people.
You know, I like this conversation. I think it's really interesting. What grabs me though is in the text, right? Jesus is saying, "You are the salt of the earth." Christians, right? Those with Christ are the salt of the earth. And so what that is saying, even as we correlate it to the next verse, right, is that when we are the light of the world, what it's entailing is that the rest of the world, those without Christ, are not salt, right? So if we are the salt, the church is the salt. And when we know that it's a preservative and it brings a taste, it means that there's maybe false taste out there, right? Or there's false preservatives out there in the world. I think this entails the world needing, Christ has placed us in the world for a purpose, right? So I think I love the chemist's take on that, right? Because the chemist's take and explanation was that the salt is comprised of two elements that by themselves would be harmful and poisonous, right? Our resident chemists can speak into that, right? And it's when these two elements are bonded together, then they become salt. So the rest of the world, you know, lacks this good quality, lacks this this particular substance. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it in that sense and tying it together. When we are who we are, when we are the salt, it does leave an effect. And tying it into Kai's point, I think it's maybe we don't even know the result of the tastiness that we always bring in, right? We underestimate the tastiness or the preserving quality that we may bring, right? But it's also not trying, right, so hard as I'm in the world and I'm not being flexible, like Jenna said. I'm just processing through a lot of what you guys were saying. I think it's interesting to me that we do leave that upon the world, and the world is looking for that.
Yeah, that's really good. How does that kind of leads us into this, right? How does it look? Wow. Understanding we are salt. We're not trying to be salt. We're being flexible. How God is going to use us as salt, and not trying to fit, you know, not trying to just be or trying too hard, and being flexible. How does that play out in the earth, in the culture? And it's exactly what Pastor Alex was trying to say, that the world needs us. And as I'm going through this with all the understanding of salt, of this taste, the need for the body to have salt and preservation, the emphasis that many commentators, and I will go with some of the notable commentators, the most important purpose and the primary function of what Jesus is driving at is preservation of the earth, because the illustration that he's giving is during Jesus' time and during the culture. This culture was turning into a pagan culture. It's very corrupt. The empire eventually gave way to Rome, right? Which is that culture, according to some theologians and also historians, was bordering on barbarianism. The culture itself, left without salt, was decaying, right? In barbarianism, what is barbarianism? When they begin to sacrifice babies. Oh, as parents, you know, when I read this, it's crazy, right? But you look at the state of our country. I talked to Alex, Pastor Alex, before, and you know, we call it abortion, but it really is just sacrificing babies at the rate of 1.5 million a year. That's bordering on barbarianism if it's not barbarianism itself. But the culture is putrid. The culture is decaying. Jesus is addressing us as the salt of the earth because we are here to preserve. We're here to maintain the goodness of God's creation and the righteousness. That's why the Beatitudes we were looking at earlier, right? All of that is part of our characteristics as believers to preserve this culture. You know, we're not holding signs up there and marching, but I don't think that's the point. You could, but the point is in our immediate circles, our job as salt is really to preserve against evil and the deterioration of the society. The society doesn't even know they need us. Not that we're so good, but it's because of Jesus. They don't even know they need us, but we're actually here, all of us, in our own niches of life. We're preserving the deterioration. We're slowing down the process of chaos. We're not going to restore them until Jesus comes, where he will give us a new heaven, new earth. But during this time, we're slowing down the process of a culture going into complete destruction. That's how important we are as the salt. You know, that I just, so just based on what I was studying and reading, it's preservation is primary. And of course, the taste comes in. As what Janet and Kai was mentioning, the taste we are bringing, because the meat is, you know, you gotta put the salt in there, not only to preserve it from decaying, but also when you cook it, you add to the taste of it. It's what Pastor Alex was also mentioning, that they may not even know that they need the taste that it, you know, of the salt. We're adding to the savory taste of it.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, I really like the example of, you know, what, of course, Jesus is all wise. It's not only, you know, preservation and the taste, and probably maybe you guys have gone through, I missed the Sunday school class last week, but also the cleansing and the healing process that salt provides. You know, I think that it's something that we just have to remember at being salt. It, you know, also the healing that we bring to the world within the context of preservation, you know, that we all have, you know, the, I guess, the responsibility or of healing, you know.
So good.
Bring restoration and healing to people of this earth.
Yeah. The effect of us being in the sprinkled in the society is greater than we think. Yeah, let's not play down our role in the society. Yeah, we are our words when we talk to folks around in our workplace and school, we're bringing healing, we're bringing restoration because we are the salt. You're right. That's absolutely part of the process of preservation, is where there's a healing process involved. Reps, did you want to add to something?
Yeah. I don't know if Sister Singin shared this at all, but she last week, in one of our breakout sessions, shared about a college fellowship that she was a part of called Salt and Light. And Singing, I don't know if you want to tell them the story of that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was just talking about my father and my mother when they were in college. They're in a Christian fellowship called the Light and Salt Fellowship. And my father always remember what their pastor talked about, be the salt. And he said that the salt will give taste to the chicken soup, to make the chicken soup very delicious. But everybody will say, oh, how delicious this chicken soup is. Nobody will say, oh, how delicious the salt is. So like the said, that's like a salt just like give taste to bring the taste of other things, but the salt doesn't show itself.
Oh,
that's yeah, good. That's a really good point.
The yeah. salt, when it's added to the dish, brings glory to the dish, not to the yes. salt itself, right? Yeah. yeah, that's a good one.
I was even thinking about, you know, all the different ways that salt is applied, you know, medicinal property. You don't think the salt for healing you, you think the doctor who administers the salt. You know, just in those, all those other properties, it's like, you don't think the salt itself, you're thinking also the one who administered it or gave it or used it, basically the one who used the salt, right? Kind of the credit doesn't always go to the salt. So I thought that was really profound in terms of like, hey, the purpose of us being salt is to glorify the Lord who made us salt, who uses us, who calls us, who applies us appropriately as the world needs. So I thought that was really neat and how that ties into the preservation. You know, God calls us salt and he wants us to be salt because his main heart is to bring people to him. So, you know, in all that we do, it should be, you know, pointing and leading people towards Christ, not like, hey, look how of a good salt, of a good Christian I am, but mm-hmm. yeah, to the Lord.
I have my Bible in my hands, right? Yeah.
Yes. Look how holy he is without Bible.
Holy. Yeah, look how holy the salt is. Yeah.
But Frank, you know, in the, I've seen somebody in the inner city like LA or Glendale. There's always a group sometimes, not so much now with the pandemic, but they have signs, they have shirts on, and they said, repent now, believe Christ, and they chant and they sing. A lot of them are very, very, they work very hard at this. They're really, really, is that wrong for them to be doing that? Or is it trying to get advantage from themselves or look good? Or is it really right or is it wrong?
I can't speak to whether it's right or wrong. I think if they're preaching the word and its gospel is being, you know, displayed, that is the truth is being displayed. That's great. I can't speak to their heart and their motivation, but I do believe when truth is spoken, it has an effect, especially truth from the word of God, right? So, but either way, and however this plays out, what Rebs and Zoe, you know, you mentioned, it brings preservation and brings healing, and it is to give glory to God, and contribution. You know, if I go down here, contribution is part of it because since the advent of the Christian church from the first century, everything else that followed from first century to till now, when it comes to higher education, universities, music, you know, these all flowed from believers who were gifted in their own calling and gifted in talents to bring about knowing that, hey, we need a university to train people, to educate them. Music, right? To bring healing and to bring enjoyment to humankind. Arts, literature, right? These were all started by believers who were salt, who were just being salt to preserve this culture. We don't think about it, but it all started from believers and orphanages following the mandate of Jesus, taking care of widows and orphans. Who started these things? Hospitals, right? Many, many. It was started by believers because they want to bring healing. They know this is required in a society to bring about preservation and healing and restoration. So the contribution of assault in this form is greater than we have actually given credit to. Of course, moving down, then all the ultimate goal is to bring the message of Jesus and what he has done on the cross to everyone, to all his children, right? It's pretty powerful when you think about what the church is doing and what we are as a body. We have a very important role in this society. Whoa, I didn't think we were gonna keep talking this much, but this is the interesting part. I didn't even get to the interesting part, guys. Right? We're just talking about the salt, but the actual teaching and the doing part, Jesus puts at the end. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? this is where it gets interesting, because the actual Greek word marino means, but if the salt becomes tasteless or loses its strength and flavor, what happens? We touched upon this last time, but there's a an understanding of salt. When I was looking into it, I'll just read this. Unlike regular salt, Dead Sea salt is not edible and tastes a bit bitter to the taste because of the low sodium content and the high presence of other minerals, right? Jesus is in Israel. He's referring to salt. The Dead Sea is their main source of salt. So everyone knows within this context what Jesus is talking about when Jesus used the word salt. But salt cannot lose its flavor because salt is salt. The bond is so strong, right, Scott? You cannot break that bond. So how can salt lose its saltiness? See, there's inherent paradox here and intention. But for the fact that when there's other minerals mixed with it, the taste is covered up. The strength is muffled, right? Wow, the strength is muffled. And then you don't even resemble much of salt anymore, though it is still salt, but there's so much leaching going on, which is water mixed with it. It draws out the contents and with other minerals mixed with it. So I thought that was interesting. I'm no expert in the chemical composition of salt, but plenty of commentators, have something to say about this. And the natural question is, what are some things that may cause believers to lose their strength and flavor? Though we are salt, that's not taken away from us, but what would be certain things that may cause believers to lose? We'll just talk about it here.
Like, could this be somebody spreading like the wrong gospel or even a cult? They've stretched things or changed things and distorted them, so it becomes more of a cult?
No, that is definitely wrong. Okay. But as a salt, how do we stop preserving the culture, contributing to the culture? How are we muffled? And how do we lose our strength?
As there was a raised hand there.
Janine was mentioning that, like, your definition here with the high presence of other minerals, it would be like, as Christians, we have other, whether it be sin or other things that we allow to be in our lives that kind of like mixed in with our Christian identity. And then it weakens, like, we're still Christians, we're still the salt, but because there's a high presence of other things that's in our lives, it weakens, our actual effectiveness.
Yeah, What are the, so keep going. What other minerals are there? Sin, cause, what other things do you think it would cause believers to lose its strength and flavor?
The obsession with worldly things.
Okay. Oh yeah, that you're being mixed in it, okay. In fact, if you're obsessed with the worldly things, you do what the world does, and all of a sudden you're good. You're not differentiating yourself. I think Pastor Alex and I were shared a couple weeks ago is that you know, that we become very much like the world. We blend in. Yeah. You fit right in, okay? Anything else? Something to think about. You know, just the minerals, I would say, that we take in, be it music, be it entertainment, news, the things we read, the people we listen to, that has an influence on us. All of these things could be things that we get wrapped up in, and it could cause the saltiness to be diminished. Right? This is very practical, something that we want to think about. I took our survey to heart, and I want to make this practical. And certain things that living as salt. I think when Jesus, even though Jesus saying, declaring that you are salt, you don't need to be tried to be salt, but he does warn us against of losing our saltiness. So some intentional things that we can meditate on this week as salty of the earth, and to prevent our saltiness from losing its strength. Based on what we all talked about, I encourage us to pick one of these, or all four of these. Ask the Spirit who you're made to be and how you can joyfully express that for the sake of the message of Jesus, of Christ, right? Perhaps, I don't know if you guys tried it, fasting from certain music, news, social media that can cause us to not have any clarity, images, games. I don't know. What are these minerals that's in your life? Maybe read the Word of God more than your average intake. How do you retain your salt, you know, your saltiness? Of course, just go back to the source. We are the salt. Reading the Word. I mean, it's, I'm not saying anything that's super revelatory. I think these are basic things that we can all do. Memorize and meditate on this verse for the week. And as I think, as we do this, as we go to God, and we kind of block out some of the distractions, we will be salt naturally. Our flavor will retain its, we will retain it, our flavor as salt naturally. Wherever we go, wherever we talk to, it comes forth from our mouths, what we think about, how we act. Yeah. Any comments? Any thoughts about this?
Frank, they consider none of people would like video games if they become kind of obsessed with them or addicted? Is that a sin and can draw you away from God? And how should you advise someone that has that kind of an issue?
Yeah, I want to stay away from calling things, you know, just sin and not sin. I think God's heart is to bring us closer to him so we have more intimacy with him. Many times things are actually neutral. You know, kids play with video games. I don't play with video games, but some adults, 50-year-olds play with video games. But I think what Jesus is saying here is he's been saying in the Beatitudes is his desire is he's called us out of the world. And his desire is always for us to be in tune with him, syncing up with him, to be just walking right behind him, right? To be intimately close to him and hearing him and feeling his presence, experiencing his love, experiencing his goodness and joy, right? I think that's the heart of God. And he's leading his children. He's not saying, don't do that. Don't do this. Like sometimes I do with my kid, but I'm learning. I'm learning to lead Jackson the way God leads me. Is there something better? Something better, guys. Is there something better than your video games? Have fun, but there's something better. And when you get closer to Jesus, closer to God, you don't have to worry how salty you are. The minerals won't be there because you are the salt of the earth. Yeah. And that's all of our journey. And I think that's what the Spirit is doing, is tugging on our hearts, telling us there's something better, much deeper, much fuller. Goes back to when Tim and I were leading John, the abundant life, the Zoe life. It's not the Suke life, right? Just our flesh, right? It's the abundant life. All right. I know that we're 9 minutes past time. I know, and some teachers need to get to the children's worship. So let me close in prayer for us, okay? Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we come before you not knowing the answers to everything. But that's okay because, Lord, you're the one who's laying this foundation. It's your word, and your word will do its work in our lives individually and corporately, Lord. And we will, as long as we come before you in humility and seeking you and knocking at the door, Lord, you promise to open that door and reveal yourself more and more to us, Lord. You have called us to be the salt, and you're not demanding anything, but you're just you're leading us to live this life that's full of grace and mercy and power in your Son Jesus. You're trying to help us to understand that and to experience that in our lives, so that we can help others to bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So Lord, we ask that you would, that your Spirit will empower us this week to be mindful of the minerals that we may be coming against, that we would be mindful of the things that would take us away from you and losing our flavor and our saltiness and our strength, that we would be we would have that flavor at its full strength, Lord, with people that we encounter, so that the message of your Son, Jesus Christ, may be displayed, and that it would bring salvation into their family and their lives. We thank you for this time. We pray for Pastor Alex as he prepares a message for us, and that we would have, that we would attune our hearts and ears to what you will speak through him this morning. We thank you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.